Set the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Primetime. Isaac and Souk. No Isaac. He is still in Las Vegas, so you get one more SOB edition before Isaac comes back tomorrow. Or doesn't.
I heard in Will's update that another coordinator has turned down the Saints job. You know how bad it is when just sitting OCs are like,
Not interested.
And then Mike McCarthy, who doesn't have a job, is like, eh. So you've had Mike McCarthy, Joe Brady, basically
Cliff Kingsbury.
Like, not like Mike McCarthy's anyone's beating down his door. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to wait until next year. No one wants that job. If you want to know how bad the Saints situation is from ownership to cap space, realize that no one wants that job. We were debating, like, is the Raiders the worst job? Wrong.
It seems like that would be the Saints.
That would be the Saints.
And that it's interesting to me because it's not been that long since they won a Super Bowl. I mean, it's been a while, but there have been other teams with much longer droughts.
True.
It's a vibrant city that loves their team. Yep. Is it just that the ownership is, like, is hard to work with? Like, why is that a bad
ownership's
job?
Ownership's wonky, and they're just in a really bad spot right now. They spent a bunch of money on Derek. And really, even when Drew Brees was there, they have managed their cap maybe the worst of any team in the last 15 years in the NFL. There was a dip there, even with Peyton and Brees, where they weren't very good because they had like $80 million in dead cap money. And the same thing. They're in salary cap hell already. And they've paid Derek Carr. So you don't have a quarterback. Your roster isn't that good. And you don't have a lot of future draft picks. Like, they've been and I know they finally traded like Lattimore to get some back, but in the years past, they keep moving up in draft. Like, they moved up in the draft to get Olave, who's a fine player, but like they're obsessed with this idea. It's like, if we just get one or two good players, they haven't really figured out, like, actually building a roster and draft picks are kind of important. So just from top to bottom, there's no we always talk about synergy and like continuity. The Saints just don't have it, and it's just a mess, and people don't want to jump into a situation where it's probably going to take you 2 or 3 years to untangle this. And in today's world of the NFL, you don't get 2 or 3 years, especially if you're an unproven coordinator. Your ass is probably fired by the time you get all that stuff untangled.
The other thing I didn't realize is just how long Mickey Loomis has been in that job. I mean, he's been their director of football ops since 2001.
Yes.
So I know that it's just Gail Benson now, who was the husband that passed.
Mr. Benson?
Tom
Benson.
But, I mean, I don't know if Gail's going to be the ouster, or maybe it's the team president. Does Loomis just need to be ousted and start this thing over?
Yes. Yes. It's,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know they built a Super Bowl team, but they've been to one. They won it. It was a great upset. And since then, I mean, the best thing they ever had is we know quarterbacks and coaches mask a lot of problems. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees masked a lot of problems.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, they do not have, they just don't have a good sense of what they're doing. Dude, they got like $70 million dead money dollars. So there's just no room. There's no wiggle room. And they don't have a sense on how to build a roster, how to draft, how to allocate their resources. And they gave a bunch of money to Derek Carr. And you don't want to be tied to any of those things.
I think the funny juxtaposition is looking at a team that went all in the Rams and were able to win the Super Bowl, and then looking at a team that went all in the New Orleans Saints, and they had an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. I mean, shoot, against the Rams, they're a pass interference away from getting to go and play the Patriots
in
the Super Bowl, right? Like, they were that close, and they just kept throwing money and kicking the can down the road. The difference is the Rams won one, and then they've gotten lucky now with their draft picks, and the Saints didn't win one and didn't get lucky with their draft
picks. Well, then they give away their draft picks.
Yeah.
They're in a constant state. There's no team that moves up in the draft more than the Saints.
And that is not a recipe for long-term success.
Moving up in the draft once in a while to grab a quarterback or you find...
To get the missing piece, to complete your run or whatever.
But when you need to rebuild your roster, you move down in the draft. You don't move up, especially for, no offense, but for like Marcus Davenport and for the Chris Olaves of the world, yeah. you don't do that. You just don't. That's not how smart franchises operate.
Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Let's start in the hockey world, Souk, and not even on the ice, but in the courts. Have you seen the drama going on with the Utah Hockey Club?
Yes, we don't. They have a name, but they don't have a name.
Yeah, they were all ready to roll with the Yetis, or the Yeti.
Everyone knew that Yeti was their preferred
choice.
That was
the favorite. That's what they were going to go with. And they began submitting their paperwork to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and they got rejected because of the Yeti coolers. And so now they're having to pivot, and they're asking fans to decide between these three names, the Utah Hockey Club, which they're currently going with, the Utah Mammoth, or the Utah Wasatch.
Yeah, because the Wasatch Mountain.
Wasatch?
Yeah, because they were going to go with the Blizzard, and it turned out that the Blizzard had problems, and then they were going to go.
Is that because of Dairy Queen?
And then they were going to, I don't remember what the Blizzard was. I think it was actually another smaller team, and then were going to go with Venom. The Utah Venom for like rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Well, Venom is a sporting goods company like that. Sells,
oh yeah.
Like the UFC.
Yeah, yeah.
So they keep running into
number four.
They keep running into trademark problems.
Well,
the Utah Wasatch. I don't know.
The Mammoth is all right.
Mammoth, go with Mammoth. You got a cool mascot.
Listen, hockey club. That feels like a whole football club thing. Like with soccer, like. Don't cop out new hockey club.
The Yeti would have been cool. I'm hoping they can figure out a way to work, because Yeti would be cool.
Maybe they can still make it part of their mascot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you were doing a little bit of NFL realignment on the fly earlier. How about this? Former head coach in the NFL, Bill Belichick, says the Lombardi Trophy should be renamed. He says it should be the Tom Brady Trophy.
Oh, Bill. Go away.
Why is he bringing this up?
He's trying to kiss Tom Brady's ass.
And why is he kissing Tom's ass?
Look, you're not naming it, renaming it the Brady Award.
Yeah, remember when they said we should redo the logo to be Kobe?
Yeah.
Kobe passed?
And I'm trying to think, like, and I think Jerry West was open to the idea of the logo being moved.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the last time we renamed a trophy. Like, Bill Russell got named the MVP now is the Bill Russell Award.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But they didn't change the name. They just added
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals and Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. So those are just added. I don't remember the last time we
never stripped a trophy of its name.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time we stripped one.
And plus, as great as Tom is, like, I mean, Vince Lombardi was like the kind of the godfather of football. That's why it's named after him.
Well, Bill, I appreciate it. You're bringing grass back to North Carolina, so there you go. Way to go, Bill.
Some sad news out of Philadelphia. Did you see this? Where one of the Eagles fans celebrating after the game has passed away after falling off of a light pole. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that in Philly and some other cities, after celebrations, they grease.
Yes.
They grease light poles.
I thought they did that there specifically. If you saw videos of Broad Street, it was absolutely crazy after the Eagles punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. But yeah, a kid, 18-year-old student from Temple University was celebrating and slipped, fell, and he didn't make it.
Can you imagine, like, you die in a drunken fall off a light pole?
Number two. The Oregon Ducks just keep stacking up the accolades that don't matter. Oregon coach Dan Lanning named the recipient of the Stallings Award, which goes...
I didn't know that was the thing. By the way, I'm assuming that's named after Gene Stallings?
The article doesn't say. It probably is.
I would assume.
But it's given to the coach that recognizes leadership, character, and achievement. So those three things specifically.
He's got great leadership, character, and he achieved. So I
also read earlier this week they picked up a second national championship, which is great.
Outside of the prestigious Wolf Index?
Yeah, it was, you know what, I'm sure I have it here. By the time we're done with the next one, I will have it. But yeah, at two different publications saying that the Ducks are, in fact, the best team in college football.
Ohio State says no to that. All right. I'm trying to see if indeed the Stallings Award. There's a lot of random awards out there.
That would be the. It was Anderson and Hester that designated Oregon a national champion. Anderson and Hester.
Congratulations. And yes, by the way, the Stallings Award.
Gene Stallings?
Gene Stallings. By the Dallas Country Club is the one that hands out the.
Why does the Dallas Country Club have a national football award that they're giving out?
But they do. And it's.
And, you know, it made our news.
The annual award ceremony is at the Dallas Country Club. My guess is that Dan Lanning will not be in attendance, but there you go. I want to make sweet, sweet football love with Dan Lanning.
And number one, the Portland Trailblazers. They win their fifth out of six. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks at home to open their homestand. A monster night from Denny Avdija. He scores 30, probably his best night as a Blazer. And the tank hasn't started yet.
No, I mean, they're in a weird spot here in that they show signs of life. And you got to be careful because this team's going nowhere as constructed. We know this is a really, really good draft. And you really are searching for a top five odds of landing one of those top picks. Six right there, anything by six, and you're kind of out of it. So, and right now you're at that precipice where you're sniffing around that 6, 7, 8, 9 spot. So, I mean, while that win last night was fun, I still got to believe that come post trade deadline, come post All-Star break, whether vets get moved or not at the deadline, I got to believe some people are going to start having some, quote, contusions. Like
deep finger contusion?
You cannot allow this team to end up with 25 wins and the eighth worst record in the NBA.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are we doing? You're just that is the definition of spinning your tires. But for, you know, the last couple of games, if you're a Blazer fan, it's been great because
it's
they look good. And that was that was their best win of the year. I mean, and they swept the Bucks. So
that's right.
You know, and Ayton looked good. Which when's the last time?
Dominating. Well, it's because he's over that deep finger contusion.
Well, supposedly he's got a real rub against Giannis.
Yeah.
After he got embarrassed in the NBA Finals, I guess Ayton gets all pissy when he plays Giannis.
Maybe
he did have 39 last night.
Maybe he should get pissy more often.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah. The Hot 5 of 5 is brought to you by Victory Goes Mexican Food. A hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victoricos.com. When you think flavor, think Victoricos. Super Bowl matchups that matter, plus a betting preview. Stupid or savvy? We'll get into that next, coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime. Get back into a little bit of Super Bowl talk here. We were talking about the teams that kind of could be next in line to make Super Bowl runs and such, but back to this game in general, or this game specifically, not in general, but some of the matchups that are going to matter in this one. And you and I, on the walk-in today, we're talking about the quarterback and how really I think that Jalen Hurts is pretty good, and he's obviously not Patrick Mahomes, but you thought the discrepancy between them is pretty significant.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, obviously I'm not saying that you expect Jalen to be Patrick Mahomes, but I didn't think there was maybe as much of a gap in this game as you do.
I think there's an enormous gap. I really do. And I know Hurts is coming off his best game that he's played all year, but make no mistake about it, Jalen Hurts is a top 10-ish quarterback. He certainly doesn't belong anywhere near the conversation of the top four. And then you get after that, you wouldn't take him above Jaden Daniels. You wouldn't take him above Justin Herbert. You wouldn't take him above right now. He certainly didn't have the year that like guy like Jared Goff would have. Maybe you would take him, you know, long term.
Yeah.
I don't think you would take him over some of the young quarterback. You wouldn't take him over CJ Stroud. I think there might even be some conversation of maybe with the one guy is like a Bo Nix. Jalen Hurts is really good and he's gotten better, but Jalen Hurts is not a great scrambler. Jalen Hurts is not a great thrower of the football. He's just not. He's a good, solid quarterback. I would make the argument that I think Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. And not that Hurts can't be great, but I think what you see here in Jalen Hurts is you see a really, really good quarterback with the best team in football built around him.
Yeah.
If you're starting a team, you you would not want to build around Jalen Hurts. But you add in Saquon Barkley, I mean, and the best, you have arguably the best O-line in the game. You have the best running back in the game. It's not even close. You probably have one of the two or three best receiving pairs in the NFL. I mean, yeah. T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, that's pretty good. But A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, they're as good as anyone in the league. You yeah. have an all-pro tight end. I mean, there is no weaknesses, and it's weird to say because I like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But he is by far the weak link of that football team. And so when I look at these matchups, I think the biggest gap, the two biggest gaps would probably be Saquon Barkley to the Chiefs run game, like to the Chiefs backs, mm-hmm. whether that's Pacheco, whether that's Perine.
Or Hunt.
Or Hunt. I mean, look, Saquon Barkley is light years better. But outside of that, I mean, the Philly O-line, I think, is better than the Kansas City O-line. But the Kansas City O-line isn't bad. I mean, they moved Tooney out to left tackle, and he's been really good. And they ran the ball. And you look at the Chiefs receivers, again, not the best group in the world, but with the emergence of Worthy and Kelsey, and they've been fine. The Chiefs defense is really good.
Yep.
So when I look at the big gap, whether it's Barkley versus the running tack, but I still would make the argument, to me, the biggest gap is Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. I mean, that is, to me, a light year sort of gap between these things. So to me, when I look at the Super Bowl, it really comes down to, this is a Joe Flacco sort of situation.
And that was the name that I was kind of stunned to hear come up, where I've always felt that Hurts has a, he's a little bit dynamic, right? He's not like,
run very well.
He doesn't.
He's not a scrambler.
But they can still use him as a weapon in the run game,
sure,
on occasion.
But he really doesn't. He is like, he's viewed as this running quarterback. And again, I think a lot of it's because he's black.
Right. And I don't necessarily think he's a running quarterback, but I think he can run more for you than Flacco could have.
Sure. Yeah, he can run more than Flacco. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Joe Flacco's game to Jalen Hurts' game. I'm just saying.
But you're saying if they're going to win, it's going to be not in spite of their quarterback, but like they kind of had to figure it out with their quarterback?
Yeah. And like, Joe Flacco at one point was the highest paid player in football, and Jalen Hurts at one point was the highest paid player in football. But I do think it's more of what they've built around. The Chiefs are there because of Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
They just are. I mean, obviously Spags and the defense and everything else that goes along with it, but believe me, that team goes as Patrick Mahomes goes. And that is not the case with the Philadelphia Eagles. When's the last time in an NFL, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Philadelphia Eagles are the 29th best pass offense in the NFL? How many teams are in the NFL?
32.
29th? When's the last time the 29th best passing attack made it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, for everybody saying it's a passing league and that's what you have to do to win, not here.
So, I mean, Hurts throws a good go ball, right? And
sometimes.
And he can do some RPO stuff.
Because even that's been inconsistent. His ability, like, we've seen A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith get frustrated this year because he hasn't been hitting those with consistency.
So, and Hurts, when Hurts shows up and plays a really good game, I mean, realize this is where Jalen Hurts threw for 2,900 yards with 18 touchdowns and 5 picks. That's just not an elite quarterback. Philadelphia would be better off with Dak Prescott than they would Jalen Hurts.
Ooh.
They just would, but we remember Jalen Hurts from a couple years ago when Jalen Hurts was runner-up to the MVP, and Jalen Hurts had a phenomenal run in the Super Bowl. He balled out in that game.
Yeah, he was great.
And I'll tell you right now, if Jalen Hurts, I said this the day after the NFC-AFC title games, if Jalen Hurts plays the way he did in the Super Bowl that he did against the Commanders, the Philadelphia Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Philadelphia is better than Kansas City. That is a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs at almost every position. But it's not as if there's these huge monumental gaps in these outside of the running back spot.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to me of Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts versus Andy Reid, and because like you have two elite defensive coordinators with Vic Fangio and Spags.
They've got the track record. They are both elite.
But you're telling me that Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts versus Andy Reid, if I just told you that, I said it's Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I mean, that is a monstrous mismatch.
Yes.
But I do think that Philly can make up for it, especially in their ability to run the ball. So I just think this comes down to what version of Jalen Hurts shows up. Do we get the Jalen Hurts should have won, and I know he had the fumble and it got run back. Jalen Hurts played well enough to win the Super Bowl. He should have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago when they played.
27 of 38, 304 yards, a touchdown, no picks, 15 carries for 70 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yes. That was the game of games. And I think he has had a regression. One, I think he gets nicked up a lot. And I think he's nicked up right now. And this is the problem.
He's nicked up right now.
He is a big, physical, bruising guy that takes a lot of hits. Even the tush push.
That's not easy on him.
They run that thing like 7-8 times a game.
Yep.
If you notice, Kansas City won't do it. They will not do it. Even Buffalo with big-ass Josh Allen doesn't do the traditional.
Not the same way, no.
It's not the same way. So you do get Jalen Hurts that gets beat and nicked up. I think he's lost a step with his explosiveness. And I also think that he isn't as willing to run as he used to be. So in this game especially, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, the chains come off. You have to implement him. He's got to be the Jalen Hurts from 2 years ago. I would love to see Jalen Hurts with 6 or 7 designed quarterback runs. I would love to see some quarterback design fake Saquon, and let's get Jalen Hurts out the back if the knee is healthy. And then he has to do a great job of getting rid of the ball. And you heard, it was Tom Brady that was talking about it. He turns down throws.
Yeah.
He is a guy that is only comfortable throwing to the outside.
I noticed that last week. It was, someone was going on like a flag route or something like that. Cause Brady saw the block. As soon as he breaks for the pylon, let it go, get rid of it. And he's hesitant. And I don't know if he's been told to just make sure we don't turn the ball over, he's averse to making mistakes, or if he just doesn't trust his arm or his accuracy enough. But I thought that was interesting.
So he needs to have, in order for Philly to win, I just think he has to be the best version of himself. And this year, he just really hasn't been the best version of himself. And hopefully we're peaking at the right moment, because that was the best that he's been in that Washington Commanders game. If he plays that way, I will. They will win that game, because that is the biggest advantage that Kansas City has. And so I think it's going to be imperative too that Philly is going to run the ball, and you're going to see Kansas City run some exotic run blitzes. They're going to throw some things at this thing, and they are going to say, if you are going to beat us, it is going to be with Jalen Hurts. It is going to be forcing you to throw, and Spags will not let him just throw go balls. They're going to force him to throw over the middle. And as he goes, even against the Commanders, some of those were just sideline throws, and they were great sideline throws. I would expect Kansas City to really try to make them play.
Funnel him to the middle of the field
and see what happens, and make that passing offense click.
So then the million-dollar question here, if that's what Jalen Hurts has to do for the Eagles to win, if you look in your crystal ball, will he?
At this point, you're betting against Kansas City with your own
at your own peril.
Yeah. I thought Buffalo was going to knock off Kansas City. I really thought this Kansas City version was the weakest that we've seen. They're not a dominant defense. Again, go look at this year, and it's funny because look at their record. They are not a dominant offense, and they are not a dominant defense. But they don't turn the ball over.
Yep.
They don't beat themselves. And again, they've got the ultimate magic eraser, and that's 15.
Yep.
There's no better quarterback on third down. There's no better quarterback on fourth down. And there's no better defensive coordinator that comes up with big moment plays and drawing stuff up than Spags. But I thought that this team could be had. And yet here we are in the postseason, and we're sitting here staring at him again, being like, no one can slay him. So can Philly beat him? Philly beat them? Yes. Will they? I can't bet it. Because again, I just, in my mind, Kellen Moore, who by the way is interviewing for other jobs, which again scares the hell out of me. I hate when coordinators are going into big games and
that's
coaches.
Another good point. We weren't even talking about that, because Rob loves bringing that up. And here you have 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and maybe your OC taking off. Yeah.
Scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And I get Andy Reid with multiple weeks. I get Spags with multiple weeks, and an offense that at times, minus Saquon Barkley, who no one has really been able to stop. Dude's an absolute beast. At times, that passing offense gets ground into the mud. I mean, I'll go back and find a couple games that, like, when you watch them, Like, and I know Philly wins games. And
there were times that offense was tough to watch.
Yes.
Which is hard to say when you see a performance like you did on Sunday against the Commanders where everything clicked. But there were times they're bogged down and getting criticized.
You know, you're beating the Saints 15-12 and you're beating other, you know, you're beating the Browns like 18-17. And I have no doubt that the Philly defense will hold up their end of the bargain. And I think Philly will run the ball real well. The other one that I really like is the best way to get a team out of exotic looks on defense, just run it down their throat. That's what Buffalo did in the third quarter. Buffalo came out in the third quarter and said, we're done dealing with all this crap. Here's our 6-0 lineman, and we're going to take James Cook, and we're going to ram it down your throat.
They could have done some more of that, too.
Philadelphia is going to do that from the get-go. I do not think they want to put this game on Jalen Hurts' shoulder, and I would assume that Kansas City is going to try to force them, which is why I would love to see, again, him get involved in the run game. Even though he's not a run-first quarterback, despite what anyone will tell you, he doesn't run like Daniels. He doesn't run even like a Josh Allen. Get him involved in the run game early. Get Kansas City to respect something other than Saquon Barkley. And then he just needs to be... He needs to be good when the moment arises on third down. And that's the thing that scares the living daylights out of me. On a handful of third or fourth downs, when it's third and five, when it's fourth and five, and you have to throw the ball, and we know that dialed up pressure is coming, he holds on to the ball and doesn't process very well at all. And that against that Kansas City defense scares the absolute living daylights out of me.
Let's keep it with the Super Bowl coming up. Stupid or savvy? A preview of some of the more unique bets coming up for the big game next Sunday. But first, let's toss over to Ortner with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time, careening towards the club hour where we'll finally get to the lawsuit over being too fat to ride in a rideshare. We'll also get to, we might get to Gen Z today. I don't know if we'll get to that. I've also seen a string of movie and TV themed burglaries recently, and I wanted to pick your brain on this.
Oh, right.
And when I say themed burglaries, I don't mean they're trying to like copycat them, but more they're targeting places from TV and movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like breaking into like the Breaking Bad house or whatever?
Yeah, kind of like that. Almost like like a cottage criminal industry. So
well, I saw that like, they caught, remember those, the people were breaking into the athletes' homes?
Yeah.
They got one of the people that broke into Joe Burrow's home, and they had Joe Burrow's hat on when they arrested him.
I saw that. They had the body cam. They pulled him over, and kid sitting in the front seat wearing a freaking Bengals beanie that's Joe Burrow's.
Yeah, it was just some like fat, I don't know, they were like Venezuelan?
Chilean maybe?
Chilean? Yeah, that was what it was, Chilean. And just some like chubby like Chilean dude who was like 22 years old and he was wearing Joe Burrow's hat and then they found like a bunch of Joe Burrow's belongings. He had like a Louis Vuitton bag with like a bunch of LSU stuff in there. Cool move, dude. Way to rob the guy and then wear his stuff, which I think is very strange.
Yeah, I think it's also just really stupid. If you know that you've committed this crime, don't go wearing the guy's stuff out in public.
When I was in school at BYU, I had a pair of, this is how lame I was, but do you remember the dragon glasses?
The dragon glasses?
Yeah, like the Terminator glasses. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was a brand.
Yeah, yep.
Like it was a, I don't know, it was like a cool brand like back in, 30 years ago. Like you'd get them at Zoomies or whatever. So I had a pair of I had a pair of dragon sunglasses.
Hot Topic.
I think the Metal Militia wore them.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Metal Militia, let's go. Dragon sunglasses. And they were in my sweet K5 blazer, and some D-bag broke the window of my blazer and stole like my, they stole like my CDs. I had that big, the floppy envelope.
The dumbest thing that we all had. Yeah. Your CD case.
He got my Merle Haggard CDs. And damn. There wasn't anything worth a damn in my thing, but he stole my CDs, and there was a BYU team issue like zip up. And then my dragon glasses.
Like you sound like the dude. He took my Creedence tapes and my papers.
And so I came out and I was pissed. Mainly I was pissed because he broke my damn window.
Yeah.
It's like, crap. So I had to do the sweet, put the plastic up over my window. And hand to God, the very next day after my window was busted, here comes this fat piece of crap, like 14-year-old kid riding his tasty Schwinn down the street by my house where my blazer was parked. Guess what the dumbass is wearing?
Your sunglasses.
And my BYU team issue zip up.
Oh my God. How, see,
I just like
criminals are dumb.
For a minute, I thought I was being trolled. I was like, this is not.
You might have been.
I was like, this is not happening. Like, someone put him up to this.
So did you kick his ass?
Well, I grabbed the bike from him, and I was like, hey,
this is my bike now.
I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, dude, those are my glasses. Those are my, that's my jacket. He goes, no, they're not. He goes, my mom bought them for me. And I was like, I was so pissed. It took every bit of my power to not strangle that little rat, you know what. So I grabbed the glasses off of him. And by the way, he was like trying to like weasel out of it. I grabbed the jacket. He was, you know, I unzipped it from him and he spun off and he left the bike laying there. So I followed him home because, again, the idiot ran home and he was fat, so he couldn't run very far. He lived like three blocks from me. He's down the road. So I knocked on the door and like the mom answered and I don't know, we called the police and nothing really happened. We couldn't really,
it never does.
We couldn't really prove that he broke it. I never did find my CDs, but the mom was pretty pissed.
I bet you would have found them under his bed.
Probably. And the mom was obviously pissed, but I did get get my jacket and my glasses back.
That's right. At least you got your Terminator glasses back.
Yeah. Don't break into a car that you live two or three blocks away, and certainly don't wear the things you stole the very next day and you ride by the house that you stole them from.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And I mean, are you asking to get caught? I watch and listen to enough true crime documentary stuff. Like, it's always criminals being idiots that ends up getting them caught.
Yeah.
Always.
Although I'm proud of myself that I swear I did not assault the kid.
Yeah, you had a little bit of restraint there. Like,
I may have thrown him off the bike, but that was it.
Yeah, now
so light pushing
back.
Yeah, exactly, light pushing. And let's be honest, you didn't really have to assault him. That diabetes is going to get that kid eventually.
You should not have pushed him for these glasses. I had to look him up. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh yeah, those glasses, dude. You don't know, Will. You didn't know back then.
Trust me, back in the day,
those things were the bee's knees.
Those were the bee's knees.
I just feel better now knowing, like, when you make fun of me for the dumb young things I do, just like. Well, at least I didn't wear dragon glasses.
God, you know, in middle school, I wore JNCO jeans, you know, like the 23-inch open, like at the leg, just huge skater jeans.
Yeah.
Those things are freaking back. Some kid wearing them today. So big they had, there was a pocket inside his pocket. It was nuts.
They're back.
Are
big
dragon
time.
Glasses, is that even still a company?
I used to have a pair of snowboarding goggles from Dragon, but I don't.
Oh, yeah, right here.
But I don't know if so they still do sell glasses?
Yeah, they still sell them.
Dragon Optical.
Dragon? Yeah, that's just go to dragonalliance.com.
All right, well, let's try to get
me the amount of dumb crap that everyone did in their 20s. Yeah, you know. It's the way it worked.
Didn't get to any Super Bowl betting there, savvy or stupid. We'll see if we can get some of that next. Plus, Suk loves to talk about kids' ravioli fists. How a ravioli fist may be derailing one of the top golfers this weekend. We'll get to that story next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Gonna pivot here. We have we basically have 2 weeks to talk about Super Bowl stuff, but this weekend, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. This weekend, Scottie Scheffler returns to the tour. This weekend,
Scottie Scheffler hasn't been on the tour.
Well, it's his first event of the year. Others have played, you know, the Sony Open, the Farmers, whatever. He has not played yet this year, and after taking some time off, this will be his first tournament of the season. But a little ravioli fist might get in the way, and I'm not talking about his kid.
Oh no!
Have you seen the latest injury to one Scottie Scheffler?
Oh, what did Scottie Scheffler have?
Apparently, homemade ravioli making.
Really.
Ended up with a hand injury. He tried to use a wine glass to cut ravioli, in a sheet, because
I can see that. So you're trying to make like the circle.
I would imagine that, or I guess you could be trying to roll the edge of it. But either way, he wasn't using like a cutter or anything like that.
Yeah.
And he put too much weight on that sucker, and he sliced his hand open with a broken wine glass.
I'll be damned.
While making homemade ravioli, so. Mm. People are questioning whether his first event of the year will be hampered by this ravioli fist of his.
Yeah, he said, broke the stem and it kind of got me in the hand. I can't live in a bubble. I've got my life to live and accidents happen.
He also said that as a non-wine drinker, he wasn't quite familiar with like how fragile the wine glass might be.
I'll tell you what, he was leaning? Like, so he was using a...
I guess.
Boy, that is a bold
precarious
move.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And then I did see there was a follow-up where one of the reporters asked you know, from this point forward, would you potentially consider a private chef so that these sort of things don't happen? He goes, oh, I already have one. Her name's Meredith, and she's really cute. He's, of course, talking about his wife.
About his wife.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, that's one of those sports, like...
It's like a baseball injury.
Well, yeah, like, you can make fun of a dude for having a little cut on his palm, but if you got a nice little juicy cut on your palm, you're not going to be able to hold the golf club.
And this isn't, yeah, if you're playing linebacker for the Eagles, maybe a different story, but, like, you get to swing this thing a couple hundred times this tournament, and I'm guessing if you got a freshly opened wound, probably not that easy. So.
Yeah, that is definitely one of those that you can make fun of different sports for kind of being candy asses, but...
You kind of need that.
Certain sports lend themselves to being tough guys, and other sports not so much, because it's a feel thing. Like a pitcher, I always say, like, if they get a split nail, they can't pitch.
Or a blister.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the worst, like, that's got to be the softest injury of all time.
Especially there's pitchers who, like, they deal with blister issues, like, chronically. And so there was a guy on the Giants who came out of the game, like, six times a year because of blister issues. I'm like, you can't figure this out?
Meanwhile, Ronnie Lott's, like, cutting off.
Cut my pinky off!
Tip of his finger. Like I said, it's I feel bad for you, Scotty. I feel bad for your little cutsy palm there. And I just... The idea of leaning on a wine glass, that's just...
I know. Like, I mean, it could have gone through there or something. Yeah. I don't know. Cut some tendons? Ew.
I'm trying to think of, like, the dumbest... I mean, I chainsawed my knee, but I feel like the chainsaw, like, I mean, it's... If you're going to do something,
you
do it right.
You chainsawed your knee?
I did. I chainsawed my knee. Still made the show.
Oh.
Yeah, didn't you miss the tree or something?
No, I was... When I lived in the backcountry there... There was a bunch of feral cats that lived around me.
So you tried to chainsaw them?
No, I was cutting down some brush. There was a bunch of, like, overgrown brush, and so I had the chainsaw out there, and I was in my coveralls. I was out there doing some man stuff. And like a dumbass, I had the headphones in, which I don't think you're supposed to do. So I was listening to music and I was chainsawing things. And my dog was out there when I had a Rottweiler at the time, and he was running around with me.
America, yeah!
And I felt them bump into me from behind. And so I kind of turned around to see what was going on. Yeah, it was in World War III with one of the feral cats. They were just, like, going at it. And so I was like, oh, crap, and they were right up against me. So I let go of the chainsaw with one hand to reach around to grab my dog. And as I reached around, you can see as you
forgot about the live chainsaw.
Well, yeah, as you reach around with one hand, and chainsaw, there's a trigger. So yeah. I let go of the trigger. But
the chain was still moving.
The chain still moves. Yeah. And so I reached around to grab my dog. And as I did it, the chainsaw dropped. I let go of the trigger. The blade was still going enough. And as it came down right into the old knee, and I was like, crap. And at the time, I knew I had cut myself. I didn't know
how bad. Deep.
So I got my dog away from the feral cats. And my dog's face was all ripped up. I put the dog away, and I was like, I'm going to have to deal with this. So I put the dog away. I cleaned his face because he had a couple nice gouges on him. And then I went outside to get the chainsaw to put it away, and I saw there was chunks in the blade. And I was like, that's not good. So I came back inside, and I took my boot off. And when I took my boot off, it was full of blood. And I was like, ah! And that's when I actually looked at it, and I called my buddy who's the doctor, and I was like, hey, I might need to come down and see ya.
Yeah.
So I took a bunch of paper towels and a sock. I took a shower, cleaned out all the grass and everything from it, wrapped it up and drove, and he stitched me up, and then I made it into the office.
Not very ROP of you.
I did not miss 1 second of the show, but I did walk in with a limp, and now I've got a nice chainsaw scar. And I would tell you, don't chainsaw your knee. It kind of sucks and it hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't bend your knee for a while.
ROP would have been out a week. Maybe Danny too.
That's the one negative thing. I don't know if it's negative or positive. I definitely have that. Yeah, you're fine.
I'm fine. I'll just,
you're fine. Yeah. You're just, you're fine. Like, yeah, you'll deal with it. I'm a big believer of, we'll wait a little bit. And if something's still bothering you, but when you, like, look into the flap of your knee and you can see all the way in there, you're like, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. mine wasn't as bad as the chainsaw. I did have an injury that was a little bit like that I should have attended to a little bit differently. Might begin the club with that. Coming up in the club, maybe more of our odd injuries, but definitely whether or not you can sue a rideshare company over you being too fat. We'll get to that with rapper Dank DeMoss. It's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.